Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Right now, we're seeing efforts to keep the American people engrossed in the U.S. political theater, and they've never been so pronounced, so all-encompassing. It's reached a point where both sides of the false two-party deception have an almost evangelical cult-like mindset in regard to their party, and rely heavily on their manufactured emotional certainty. A certainty not based on facts and reason, but on emotional outrage and moral superiority. All of this serves only to keep the people so aggressively engaged in that which they see as the end-all, be-all fight for humanity. But in reality, it's just a ploy, another deception, used to do exactly what it's currently doing. Distract you from everything they do not wish you to see, while forcing you to be hyper-focused, almost to the point of insanity, on very specific and never-ending discussion points. Russiagate, the deep state battle, both of which could very well be true, yet neither have any proof to actually justify the fervor. Yet both sides would deem even the utterance of such a statement as blasphemy and give you a never-ending stream of conjecture and supposition presented as unequivocal fact, seeming to have forgotten altogether what that term actually means, as emotions went out over reason, which was the plan all along. So today I have four stories to cover that are all discussion points you'll likely not hear on mainstream media, as well as much of the independent media, yet are arguably some of the most important things happening today. But as always, don't trust me, come to your own conclusions. So I was recently sick for a couple of days, so I apologize for the absence. Again, one more quick apology for the 30 seconds of empty space in the beginning where I had my mic unplugged. That was my fault. I did a longer show this morning for about 2.5 hours, really playing catch up on a lot of the different topics over the last couple of days. You know, the Trump-Putin summit, some of the things that I was, you know, I had a lot of opinions about, but I was out for that. So I made sure to cover that all, you know, over the last longer show. So for those of you that enjoy the longer streams, please make sure you check that out. Some really good stuff that was in there. A lot of interaction with the chat, which is more what I make sure and do for the longer shows, is engage with the chat and everything like that. But for this one, I have four stories that I want to cover that are all very important. And you already saw the image for the first one. Coming from Mint Press News, a very important story that we've talked about a lot, that I've done interviews with Eva Bartlett about, with Vanessa Bealey. There's a lot of content around this story, but this specific story, in my mind, gives us an insight into some really interesting things here. Now, once again, the title is Western Governments Seek to Evacuate White Helmets from Syria, Resettle Them in Canada. Very, very interesting. Now, there's a lot of information around this story that stands out, a lot of it. But in particular, there's some few points that I really want to go over that I found to be very profound. But it's something that, in general, I think it's almost impossible for anyone to look at the facts, the actual facts, from people on the ground in Syria, from actual investigators that went there themselves, to actually seeing where the white helmets work and what they actually accomplish, and the fact that they basically hijacked the name of the Syria Civil Defense and used it for themselves, and there's an actual real group with that name, it seems pretty clear what they really are. So following the recent success of the Syrian government's campaign to rid southern Syria of both radical jihadists and foreign influence, which they have done a very, like, amazingly successful recently, the same Western governments that have long funded the White Helmets are now seeking to evacuate their assets, which that's what they are, and resettle them abroad, which is very, very interesting. And there's a lot, you know, again, I'll wait to make my points here. According to a recent report, several Western countries that have provided funding for the group, such as the Netherlands, the UK, Germany, and France, are now scrambling to evacuate the estimated 1,000 white helmets and their families, claiming that they are, quote, in danger of assassination and, quote, now in need of rescuing themselves. So the point I was about to make ahead of myself there. So if this is a genuine aid group, a legitimate group out there trying to save lives and help the Syrian people, why would they be in fear for their lives? I mean, of course, they're going to, oh, well, Assad's just this maniac murderer and he will just kill anybody that's on their side, which is very patently false. I mean, very clearly untrue with all the information we've seen, all the debunked, ridiculous, nonsensical lies that even the U.S. claims it has no proof to back up of gassing their own citizens. Somehow now that Assad is taking back power and this group that was supposedly, you know, saving Syrian civilians is now somehow in fear for their lives? Doesn't seem to make sense. But what does make sense is that if they're a radical jihadist group, because Assad is systematically taking out all the US-backed extremist groups. So that makes sense. All of a sudden, it makes sense. Now they're in fear for their lives because they're basically the little helpers of al-Nusra and al-Qaeda in Syria. And all of a sudden, now they're in fear for their lives because Assad is winning. Very interesting. Now, obviously, that's not how the take is going to be from super, you know, uber pro statists. But the reality here is that this group is in fear for their lives because they are part of the enemy. They're not helping Syrian civilians. I've done whole shows on this. Very easy to prove. But it's interesting to see that now they're scrambling to get them out of there because they're essentially a jihadist proxy group for Western powers. Several of these countries had brought up the issue with President Trump during last week's NATO summit. However, the Trump administration, which recently restored, which it never really stopped it, its $6.6 million in funding for the White Helmets, they declined to comment on rescue efforts for the group, but did voice its concern that the White Helmets are related groups and related groups could face reprisals from the Syrian government. Again, reprisals for what? For helping Syrian citizens? That doesn't make any sense. It's all these nonsensical data points are based on this irrational claim that Assad is just this wild maniac that's going to just murder people for not being on his side, which there's literally no evidence to support that claim. But that's mainstream media today. Canada was named by CBS as a top possibility for White Helmet safe haven, which to the collective groan of all Canadians in the chat. That's a horrifying concept. The report also asserted that Jordan and Israel, of course, would also likely assist such efforts, two nations that are very clearly aligned with what's been going on in Syria, at least on the Western side. So that makes perfect sense. The White Helmets have been shown on several occasions to effectively be the same organization as the terror group al-Nusra Front, and have been caught on film aiding al-Nusra terrorists execute Syrian civilians, which makes sense why they would be running from Assad. It is hard to imagine any Westerner who would want the White Helmets as neighbors. Absolutely. So this is a pretty messed up story. And the reality is we have to kind of take a step back and realize how this has all progressed. How they pretended to stop funding them. I mean, and actually they make the point in the article that this could actually be just another ploy to drum up more funds for the White Helmets, kind of like the fake funding freeze they say was more than likely a way to drum up support for them. So maybe that's the case. Maybe this is a way to drum up as much money as possible to carry out the next false flag we're all expecting. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully the Canadians aren't going to be forced to live with these basic verifiable al-Nusra jihadists that have been the proxy army of the US and UK and France for all these years. Hopefully not, but very interesting story. And I think the point for me that sticks out is there is absolutely no reason a genuine aid group should be in fear of any government that's actually trying to help its own people, which all the Syrians in that country are overwhelmingly in support of Assad, despite what you hear in the garbage mainstream media. Very, very clear fact there. So doesn't add up, in my opinion. Moving on to the next story, coming from the freethoughtproject.com, as well an interesting one that I think ties in with a lot of what's going on today, entitled Largest Voting Machine Vendor in US Admits Its Systems Had Remote Access Software Installed. That doesn't seem very shocking to me, but I imagine a lot of people are probably shocked by this kind of a statement. And it's something that really has some dramatic implications for what a lot of different things. Now, obviously, a lot of people will take this as a partisan concept. Oh, well, that makes sense. That's why Trump cheated. Or, oh, that's why Clinton tried to cheat. You know, whatever, like trying to force it into a partisan box. We need to think well beyond that. This is a way for them to make sure exactly what they want to happen will happen. Which would mean if they controlled this, they being, you know, the hierarchy enslaving you for the acronym, whoever, the reality being that if they wanted Trump, they would make sure he got in, which is likely what happened. That it was all a big show and, you know, little dancing puppets like it always is. And they made sure he got in so we could see exactly what were happening now happen. As half the country is caught up in some, you know, kind of childlike deception about how he's going to save the world and accept the fact that everything he's doing is going along with the deep state's normal plan. And the other side is so obsessed with the fact that he's colluding with Russia that they can't see past their own bias. Exactly. And we're ignoring everything else. And this is such an important story because it gives you such a good insight onto the way this system actually works, which means it doesn't work at all. Very interesting. So Election Systems and Software, ESNS, has now admitted that despite denying previous allegations of its voting systems coming installed with remote access software, Their systems did indeed allow for remote connections. In a letter to Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat, written in April, but only released this week, which I found interesting, the company acknowledged that it had installed software that made the systems remotely accessible from anywhere. PC Anywhere was a remote access software by Symantec, which allowed people to remotely access other computers from anywhere in the world. In 2012, Symantec issued a press release telling all users to disable and uninstall the software after admitting that it had been hacked years prior in 2016. This is independent of the machines. This is just their software had been hacked, and they told everyone to stop using it, and yet it was still installed in these voting machines. At the same time, ESNS was selling voting systems with PC Anywhere software pre-installed on them. So not only is it possible remote access to whoever has that control, it's also something that's just not very secure. It had been hacked, and their own company had said, stop using this. And anyway, it was installed on one of the large, the largest voting machine group in the country. It baffles the mind. It's crazy. According to ESNS, the remote access software was so that the company could provide technical support purposes on county workstations, but this software was not designed to and did not come in contact with any voting machines. Of course they would say that. But the reality here is that there's much more than just this one isolated event. Now, ESNS is not alone in their controversy either. Well, actually, before I move forward, the point is that why would you believe anything that they would have to say when they were just caught in a lie? They literally were just caught saying, no, this never happened. And then, they finally were forced to admit, yes, it did happen. So they're clearly just admitted to the fact that they covered this story up. Now they're again saying, yes, it happened, but here's why. You know, it's like, why would you trust what they have to say? The reality is that these machines had remote access software where people could remotely, log into these machines and manipulate things. And now tie this in with all the other stuff we know. All the videos of machines dancing back and forth with who they voted on and all kind of, this is an error. We'll fix that. You know, it's crazy to think this. And now it gets into the other information that we've talked about in the past. It's not alone in their controversy. In 2006, the documentary Hacking Democracy exposed Diebold and their role in rigging elections with their electronic voting machines. And this is what we recently played the video of, and I'll make sure to include this in the show notes. Clinton Eugene Curtis, an American attorney, computer programmer, and ex-employee of NASA, was exposed election hacking in a video where he stood up in front of in a congressional hearing and openly testified that he was hired to manipulate voting machines. I've talked about this 15 different times. This is Diebold, a completely different company, both of which were predominantly used. I guess, no, both predominantly, but both were mostly used for these voting machines. Diebold at one point was the predominant use. Now, as I understand it, it's ESNS. But the point is, both of them, a person who worked on them testified that they were manipulated, and he was hired for the very purpose of making sure they could have access to change the votes. That's what he said in his own testimony, where they could log in and remotely change the vote one way or the other. And he testified to that. And yet those machines were still used for years after that. I mean, how can you even justify that? The point is that most people didn't even know that story took place, and they just disregarded it. Who cares? We wouldn't do that because everyone's altruistic in this government and they're all trying to do the right thing. It's crazy. And now again, we see this where they lied about this, and now we find out that the new machines, the largest one in the country, now has, at least at this point, had remote software installed into it. I mean, it's just, how much more evidence do we need to see? Now, of course, you can shrug this off and say, oh, well, they said it was for technical support. Of course, but that's crazy. So you're going to allow a backdoor like that, knowing the kind of things that our government's capable of and the intelligence community is capable of, as we're literally watching how they just tried to manipulate the election because they just hated Donald Trump, even if that's true or not. The point is that somebody could have manipulated that. And that's not why they left it there. That's not why it was installed. We just need to really begin to see how this is all playing out. And then, of course, they say, oh, look, the Russians are threatening our democracy. And then they remotely hack the machines and change your vote. It's just the ridiculousness of this all. It just kills me. As they, our democracy is being threatened that they're manipulating. It cracks me up. But it's kind of in a macabre way that it shouldn't be funny. Because these are very big deal. These are things that are very, very important to what we're trying to accomplish here. But this is what I'm talking about in the beginning. As they're aggressively pointing at the Russians, They're ruining everything. No, what they're doing is they're exposing all the things that you're doing. That's what's happening. And probably for their own benefit. Doesn't mean they're altruistic either. They have an agenda like everybody does. But they're, you know, supposedly hacking and giving us the truth about how the United States government is manipulating and cheating in our supposed democracy. It's just ridiculous. It's this big game. And as long as we're distracted and arguing with each other, these kind of things just go right over our heads. Just like it did when he testified back then about the Diebold machines. Right over everybody's head. And they didn't notice it because they were so distracted about whatever ploy was going on then, which we have one going on now. Very frustrating. Moving on to the next story coming from the antiwar.com. I love this site because they do a lot of really short, quick articles that really dive into some very important stuff. A lot of it foreign policy oriented, which you all know that's something I'm very passionate about. Something titled Israeli Army Told to Prepare for Large Scale Invasion of Gaza. Now, you would think a story like this, especially with a U.S. ally, literally preparing at their own admission for a large-scale invasion of one of the largest open-air prisons in the world, which has absolutely no ability to truly defend themselves to an actual large-scale invasion. It will just be like an absolute massacre, more so than we're already seeing. And you would think that this would get any kind of coverage, but it's not. Big surprise. I imagine it's not that much of a surprise for those of you in the chat, but blows me away. Continually, still does, every time. I see civilian deaths in Yemen, I see Palestinians murdered, and it just blows me away that people can't talk about this. Thank you for the super chat, JJ Youngblood, I appreciate it. Very good, important time to put it out there too. This story, as you all know, what's going on in Palestine and Yemen are two of the biggest stories in my mind that's happening right now in the world. Horrifying, horrifying developments that nobody is talking about truly. I shouldn't say no. I mean, obviously, you know what I mean. People like us, independent media, are talking about it as much as they can, but it's being suppressed, stifled, and censored. And it's not getting any real traction because of that. And the people that actually have all of the fake coverage out there are not doing their jobs, which I should say probably they are doing their jobs, which is to distract you and manipulate you. So good job, mainstream media. You're doing your job. Okay. The Israeli army warplanes attacked the Gaza Strip on Tuesday, which is another story that I was going to cover before, but it's one that's a few days, you know, a while back now, but they did attack the Gaza Strip in a large escalation, as well as attacking Israel attacked Damascus as well, which doesn't get discussed, but that's another big story that just kind of falls into the wayside with all the ridiculousness going on. Which they ultimately broke a 3-day ceasefire, which would not surprising. This followed reports that a Palestinian fire balloon landed on a kindergarten, causing no casualties whatsoever. But it comes back to this concept of this kite terror, as they call it, which is crazy. Jeremy Chase says, just wanted to show you a little support. Love the show, Ryan. Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate it, my friend. Now, this goes back to the concept of these kite terror, you know, I hate to make light of it because, I mean, clearly, you know, if it's catching, you know, crops on fire, that's not like an unimportant thing. But in the larger context of understanding what's going on in Palestine, where these people are literally being annihilated as like an absolute genocide because they're Palestinian for no other real reason, they're trying to find ways to fight back and to get attention. Say, everybody in the world, look at us. We're trying to survive. Pay attention. So they're shooting, they're, you know, putting out these kites with supposed Molotov cocktails, which is not all of them, by the way. That's, you have to understand, there are other kites with messages on them that are not like that, but yet they've already said they're going to basically try to shoot down and even bomb any child that flies a kite in the air, which is just absolutely crazy. But so now this is apparently, as they claim, one of these supposed fire balloons on a kite that landed in a kindergarten. They claim, I mean, there's no way to verify that, but then didn't cause any casualties. But now because of that, this is all kicking off. The Israeli army has now been told to prepare for a, quote, large-scale military operation against the Gaza Strip, which is just crazy to me. These people are struggling for their lives right now as they shut off water and humanitarian aid and won't allow them to leave as they're getting murdered by Israeli soldiers and injured, and they try to leave through by way of water, and they drag them back in and make them force them into some kind of Israeli prison, and yet they're going to carry out a large-scale military operation. It's punishment is what it is. And the military has recently been conducting drills simulating a full-scale military conquest of the entire strip. I wonder why they would do that, because that's their intention. Their long-term intention has been to ultimately take over completely of what is currently occupied Palestine, or mostly Israel right now, which is illegally theirs. Thank you, Smith Wesson, just a shrekel for your work. I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you guys for your support. I greatly appreciate it. Now, Hamas is scrambling, apparently, to try to stop the balloon and kite flying from their side of the border. But an invasion is expected in fairly short order, apparently, if they are anything short of 100% successful. So apparently, if one person flies a kite, they're going to carry out a full-scale military invasion on what is a lot of average civilians, women, and children. Think about that. We don't talk about that. But just these average people trying to live their lives as they get displaced over and over and abused and manipulated by the IDF, who you're no longer allowed to film because it's now illegal. And yet they're, if you know, they can't even do anything. But now if they fly one kite, they're going to invade them completely. The Israeli military doesn't seem to be immediately on board for a war, however, which is interesting. I found that to be incredibly interesting. Mr. T, thank you. Barbecue next year at T Lab's place. Everybody's welcome. I appreciate your support, guys. Thank you. Now, senior Israeli officers are pushing the government to try something other than an invasion first, suggesting they might be able to, quote, pressure Gaza civilians in an attempt to force Hamas to avoid war. Now, this is noteworthy that the Israeli military is even trying to delay an invasion at all. Historically, invasions of the Gaza Strip have been frequent and have faced little public resistance from the military leadership. So this is an interesting development that they would, that the fact that this even happened, maybe this is an insight into the fact that there's a little bit of a leadership difference of opinion. Maybe things are shifting a little bit where some people involved are saying, man, this is getting out of hand. I mean, that's a very hopeful thinking. I wouldn't think that's the case based on what we've heard, the statements of Netanyahu's government and what they've actually said about Palestinians. But I do find it interesting that they're willing to even hold back, which they haven't in the past. Maybe that's a sign of, most likely, of awareness and people in the world beginning to recognize what's really going on there. So now there may be a little concern that they can't just lash out, you know, which I hope that's the case. And I really hope that we can get enough attention going around to actually stop them from murdering these people for flying kites. Interesting. Patrick Little 2020, thank you, Smith Wesson. I've heard people bring up his name before. I'm not too familiar with him, but I will read every super chat you guys put out there, so feel free. Let's move on to the next story, one coming from mintpressnews.com as well, entitled Oil-Rich, I think it's Nukwin, I think is how you pronounce that. I tried to look it up. I couldn't find anywhere to pronounce it verbally online, but I believe it's Nukwin. Let me know in the chat if I'm saying it incorrectly. Oil-rich Nukwin, Argentina is the site of a new U.S. military base. Very shocking, not really. There's military bases everywhere already in Argentina. But the point is now there's another one happening, and guess what? In an oil-rich area. Not very surprising. Upset, though, the article begins, and I want to include this. This is Whitney, or no, it's actually W.T. Whitney, but this little intro I thought was important because obviously this is opinion, but I completely agree with this. It says, obsessive media focus on President Trump's personal indecencies undoubtedly contributes to important news stories not seeing the light of day, which is kind of what I was saying in the beginning. In that regard, it's no wonder the U.S. public is generally unaware of U.S. military interventions in parts of the world, particularly in Latin America. That way, U.S. imperial excess gets a pass. Very, very, very true. The fact that we are being so distracted from so many important things by ridiculous, juvenile, childish, partisan debates about things that arguably don't even exist. It's infuriating. But we're currently, the U.S. government is invading and overthrowing countries in South America like it's their job. It's crazy. And right now we're seeing this take place. And I don't want to jump the gun and say there's a regime change effort in Argentina, but what's based on what I'm seeing with this information and the bases and the resources and how the people are reacting, it very well might be the case, but that's up to debate. But clearly we're seeing it take place in other countries, Nicaragua, in Venezuela, at least fomenting unrest amongst the population. But these are countries that are standing to some degree against the U.S. efforts, in particular Venezuela. But it's very interesting to see. And the fact that the U.S. is just popping out bases, like here's a base, let's put a base there. It's like we're playing a game of Risk. It's just crazy. Again, it's because of the governments that have been put in place by them in the past, so they're able to manipulate and take these resources. But the people there are starting to stand up, which good for them. They absolutely should. Now, this base will cost $2 million. Guess who's going to pay for that, by the way? U.S. Embassy spokespersons say American troops will be helping out with natural disasters. Provincial officials, however, identify the installation as a military base. Interesting how they played that both sides. Always humanitarian efforts. That's always the ploy. Now, Maria Ortega of the House of Friendship with Cuba reminded fellow demonstrators that the United States, quote, invades countries to overthrow their governments and destabilizes governments that are for the people. Of course, this, we've pointed this out 100 times over. That's basically unequivocal fact as far as I'm concerned. And whether you could argue maybe that it's not right now, but I think based on what's happening, it absolutely is. But historically, 100% true. Indigenous leader Jorge Newhall declared, quote, we know the United States has interests through its corporations and petroleum multinationals that they need to protect. But they know, too, that people are immobilized and they need to contain that reaction. And killings don't matter to them. So think about that. So Argentina is definitely a place we should be paying attention to. These people are not okay with this. And they're recognizing what's actually happening. And they can recognize that it's a corporate effort under the guise of humanitarian aid, which is just the same old tribe. We've been seeing the same old played out narrative over and over and over. And every time they go in to help humanitarian wise, it leaves the country in ruin as they reap all of the resources and leave them with nothing. Africa was colonized a long time ago. And now look at them. Africa struggles in most areas, despite the fact that they're wildly resource rich. Ask yourself why that is. You could always just shrug it off and say, oh, well, they don't know what they're doing and they're chaos and always killing each other. Yeah, but there's a reason for that. There's manipulations that are taking place. And this is a perfect example of the people that are standing up against this. So when we see something take place in Argentina, you'll remember this and remember, oh, well, there was a reason for that. Jeremy says, what are your thoughts on Syrian activity in the Golan Heights? It's their land. Absolutely. It's just another place. And that's not via the United States, but it's the same concept. Golan Heights is an illegally annexed area in Syria by Israel. That's just the same kind of thing. Another U.S. ally illegally taking land that's not theirs. That's the same exact concept. That's why we're seeing the same thing. And this is I don't know what you would call it, fake humanitarianism 101. It's exactly what we're seeing take place in all of these different countries. And this is just another one. Now, other U.S. bases are on the way in Argentina. One in Misiones in the north near the triple border with Brazil and Paraguay is programmed to combat narco trafficking, as they claim, and terrorism. So another military base. Another will be in Tierra del Fuego. Scientific purposes are apparently spoken of, but, you know, again, who knows? It's all up there in the air. There's a proposal for yet another, Jujuy province, another in Jujuy province, in the country's extreme northwest where massive deposits of lithium are located. Oh, you don't say. Another resource that's very important. Of course, they're going to put a base there for humanitarian efforts. Of course. Who would question the altruistic nature of their government? Very likely the role of U.S. bases, at least in Latin America, is to make real the U.S. concept of mobilizing national alliances to serve U.S. purposes. Always the case. Not a secret. Very, very interesting. Now, this story is just one of many. I mean, you could argue that the concept of putting U.S. bases in Argentina is not one of the most important stories today, but I beg to differ. I truly think that we're not paying attention to what's taking place around the world in our name. Our military, which is the vast majority of our tax dollars, then we're not doing our job. The people, me as a reporter, me as an investigator, me as an aggregator of information for you to do your due diligence. The reality here is that people are not paying attention. People are so overwhelmingly distracted by things that are arguably not even true today. I mean, of course, we should be concerned about certain things that, you know, if these were even true. But the reality here is that it's one story in a massive amount of information that is very important to the future of this country. And yet we are seemingly hyper-focused on very specific issues for extended periods of time. One week and a half, it's immigration. And now all of a sudden it's just like, oh, okay, we don't care about those immigrant kids anymore. Let's all point at Russia. Russia is the big problem. What happened to the immigration story? Everyone just stopped talking about it? I mean, you have to recognize how it's just this disjointed shift into whatever they can do to keep people focused on anything but what is really important. Not to say that those aren't important, but this stuff is what's really important today because it's what they don't want you looking at. We have to focus on that. I mean, really, how can we be so oblivious to what our government's doing in our name with all dollars overseas?
And really the question we should be asking ourselves is, at what point did the American people become no longer involved in this process? I mean, we could argue maybe we never were, but when did this start happening where these things are just being carried out? Invading countries, bombing countries, killing civilians in our name with our money, and we don't have a say at all. Yeah, we go and put our name on a piece of paper once every 2 years, 4 years, vote for somebody to go into office, and then they have no, absolute no, they don't have to do anything we want. There's no reason they can pretend they do, and we childishly tell ourselves, oh, well, they're a good person, they're going to do what we say, while lobbyists put hundreds of thousands of dollars in their pocket to get to do what they want. But they're not going to do what we want. That's because the reality is the republic we were supposed to be, constitutional republic, whatever anybody wants to call it, there's all people always chime in and say, oh, you're incorrect. The point is, that's not what we are. The people are supposed to have a direct representation here with actual interaction, that we get involved and they do what we want because that's how the system works. But it's not how it works. That's not the government we have today. We just simply write our name on a piece of paper, sit down feeling all proud of ourselves. Oh, we took place in our democracy. And they go do whatever the hell they want. And that's a pretty sad concept, but that's why we need to keep speaking out. That's why we need to keep voicing our opinions and gathering support, shaving one more person away from that ridiculous mainstream media propaganda and this shaving people away from this absurd two-party deception. And just saying, you know, don't just say, here's what to think. Just say, think critically. Stop just buying into it mindlessly. Ask questions. Use your reason. Don't let your emotions overcome what you're doing. Very, very important. Smith Wesson says, Genie Oil wants the Gaza Strip. I completely agree. It all comes down to resources in so many ways. But resources is just one prong of a larger concept. It's about control. It's about hegemony in general, dominance of the world. It's something that they need desperately for many different reasons. We can get into the conspiratorial aspects, but the resources are the easiest for people to wrap their minds around that are still kind of outside the, or rather inside the box, if you will. It's hard for people to wrap their minds around some of these more nefarious agendas. But when you recognize that they're doing this not for the people, but for their own benefit, and you show them this and get people to stand back, remove the partisan blinds they have, they can hopefully recognize that this is not helping anybody. It's hard to come across, but we need to continue doing it. Well, I love all of you. I truly appreciate you tuning in today. I apologize again for my little snafu in the beginning. I'm probably going to try to edit that out, so you might lose the chat in the replay just because it's like 30 seconds of blank space. So I appreciate you tuning in today, and I really appreciate all of your interaction and all of your donations. I couldn't do this without you. I hope you know how truly profound this is for me to know that you people are out there truly engaged in what we're talking about, truly beginning to think for yourselves, and maybe even doubting what I'm saying and questioning what I'm saying, getting engaged in the conversation and saying, no, you're wrong. Here's what we should be talking about. And then we have an actual civil discussion about it. Hey, and maybe you'll change my mind. That's how it's supposed to work. Not red-faced arguments screaming conjecture at each other, which is how it is working right now for everybody else. So I appreciate you all. I love you all. As always, make sure you check out the independent sources in the show notes below. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.